D-Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes here with you. The Tennessee Titans 53-man roster, it's due. Well, it's past due. It was due 2 minutes ago. I have not seen an official tweet yet. But we will...
I'm sure we'll get it pretty soon here.
We wait with bated breath the Tennessee Titans 53-man roster. But let's not bury the lead here, guys. The biggest news of today is not the Titans 53-man roster, which we will discuss momentarily. It is not Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift's engagement. It's Arlo Vingan's fourth birthday.
Woo! Happy birthday, Arlo!
Happy birthday,
Happy
bud.
Happy birthday, Arlo.
Love you. How dare Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift upstage my son's fourth birthday? How dare you?
We will boycott.
Shame on
we
all.
We will boycott them.
Mm-mm.
Yes.
I'm we happy. Don't recognize their soon-to-be
wedding.
We
don't recognize their music. We're going to cancel.
I'm happy. I'm happy for them. I love, but I love my son more.
Yes.
So happy birthday, buddy. That's the news story of the day. You can react to my son's birthday at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I am kidding, of course. All right. So I have not yet seen Jim Wyatt tweet out the link to the story announcing the Tennessee Titans 53-man roster. That's a lie. It's right here. Let's click on it. The Titans part ways with 20 players ahead of today's deadline while placing running back Tajay Spears on injured reserve, designated for return. That is the headline. So here are the players who have officially been released by the Tennessee Titans. Linebacker Brian Asamoah, defensive back Kendall Brooks, tight end Drake Dabney, offensive lineman Jalen Duncan, outside linebacker Ali Gay, defensive tackle Cam Horsley, running back Jermar Jefferson, wide receiver Mason Kinsey for the 18th year in a row, running back Jordan Mims, tight end Thomas Odekoya, defensive lineman Isaiah Rakes, I believe, wide receiver, sorry guys, Xavier Restrepo, offensive lineman Andrew Rupchich, and tight end Josh Wiley. Terminated vested veterans, offensive lineman Brendan James, linebacker Blake Lynch, defensive back Amani Oru, not going to be here anymore. Wide receiver James Prochet, quarterback Trevor Siemian, defensive lineman Carlos Watkins, and placed on injured reserve running back Tajay Spears. So over the course of the day, various reporters were tweeting out the cuts. And I think, Derek Mason, the one that caught most Titans fans by surprise was James Prochet. A lot of Titans fans felt that Prochet would have a role on this team, particularly on special teams, but that is not the case because he was among the vested veterans who have been terminated, which is a very strong word for being released, but they have been terminated.
Yeah, I mean, it's it was going to be an uphill battle for him, and you would have had to assume that, you know, the two rookies were going to be on the roster. If they showed anything, they were going to be on the roster. You figured Calvin Ridley, Jefferson, and Lockett would be on the roster more than likely. Calvin, because he's been here already, he's the big ticket guy. But Jefferson and Lockett, they brought them in specifically to play the two and the three role. So what was left was, you know, one or two other spots, really one other spot. And I thought that James Prochet did enough. But I believe they like Bryce Oliver. Bryce Oliver is a guy, he's been in their system before. He was there last year, and he showed promise last year. So they saw some more development in him. So they would rather take a guy like that, a young guy, rather than a veteran guy. I don't know how long Prochet's been in the league. What has it been, 7, 8 years somewhere? About 7 years somewhere around there. But they would rather have this young guy that knows their system and is developing within their system than a sort of older guy that has been sort of a journeyman, 6 years. So, so I thought he did enough, but it's honestly, it's not about the Titans. I think he did enough that he will be on somebody else's team, but it's just unfortunate that, you know, for him at least, that because he bought out. he bought out. There was no place for him in the receiver room, and he wasn't, you know, amongst the top as far as their return guy. So, I mean, unless he would have came out and just killed it, you know, and just impressed everybody, it was a long shot.
Willie, that leaves six receivers on the Titans roster. Calvin Ridley, Tyler Lockett, Elik Iemanuir, Van Jefferson, Bryce Oliver, and Chim Dike, with Treylon Burks on injured reserve / waived, I believe. James Prochet, Xavier Restrepo, Mason Kinsey, TJ Sheffield, Matt Landers, and Jaquan Jackson cut. So what do you make of the Titans? Let's start with the receivers since we're talking about Prochet. What do you make of the Titans cutting Prochet and the six receivers that the Titans have kept on their initial, I emphasize that word throughout the show, initial 53-man roster?
I do think it's fair to say that this won't be the last roster. They are looking, I'm sure, from all position groups to see who's out there, who might be better than what they have. I am happy for Bryce Oliver, but I'm not 100% sure that they're going to find somebody else. But let me ask you this, D-Mace. Who is the kick returner right now as we sit here at this point? I just thought Prochet would end up being there. And remember, too, the new rules, I assume you can still do this, right? Mm-hmm. Since the COVID, the versatility you have with your practice squad, I know a lot of these guys will end up on there. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to be super sought after around the league. But you can elevate a guy like Prochet, I would think, right, if nobody takes him.
Yeah, if nobody takes him, you can, you know.
You could elevate him and he could still be there, right?
Yeah, he could. But more than likely, because he has done enough throughout these preseason games that someone else will pick him up. You know, a team that's in dire need for four or five that can double as a returner, a special teams guy. He's going to fit that mold. Right now, I think this is the one position that is going to remain locked the way it is, the receiver room. I think that's the position because I still don't believe, because Bryce Oliver to them is a special teams guy too. He may not be a returner. Elik Iemanuir or Chim Dike will do that. But Bryce Oliver he's going to be one of their core special teams guys. So they're not going to get rid of him, because outside of him, Van plays a little special teams. Calvin doesn't. Lockett doesn't. And you don't know how it's going to situate, you know, game from game with the rookie. So you got to have a guy like Bryce Oliver on your roster.
If there's one,
so do we know who the kick returner Mm-mm. incumbent right now would be?
I guess it would be DK? Elik Iemanuir or Chestnut.
I assume DK. Is DK, yeah, DK not a kick returner? Is he not a punt DK, returner and a kick returner?
Yeah, but you know, we've seen how that's gone with rookies. Like I feel a little bit look, as we've said, if you're gonna lose, there is an argument to say, let's see if the rookies could do it. And so he might get a crack at it.
But don't be surprised if Chestnut's back there.
But he hasn't caught a punt, has he?
Or I'm talking about kickoff. I think he has caught a kickoff.
What about punts? DK?
Yeah.
I have no idea. Don't look at me.
I'm saying that's where more than likely they are going to one of those rookies to catch punts.
Well, I can say this with confidence. I have known Willie Donick for more than 10 years, but I've really gotten to know Willie Donick over the past year because we've been working together every day. And as many of you know, Willie is hard to rile up. He's even-keeled. He's measured. It's hard to get Willie animated. But there is one thing that I have learned that grinds Willie Donick's gears so fast, and that is mentioning the Titans draft record starting in 2020. If you bring that up, you are bound to get fired up Willie Donick. And after today's news, let's pour one out for the 2023 Tennessee Titans draft class. First pick, Peter Skoronski. Feeling pretty good about that right now. Second pick, Will Levis. Tajay Spears, out for at least the first four games. Consistently injured last season. Josh Wiley, gone. Jalen Duncan, gone. Colton Dowell, gone. So, six players taken in that draft class. Titans got one. one worthwhile player out of it. Willie Donick, your thoughts?
Well, I got riled up yesterday on the show. Not blasting them for having poor drafts, because that's obvious, right? It's pretty obvious that the jury is out on pretty much all of these players. And I'll get to what grinds my gears and gets my blood boiling in a second. But with these moves today, essentially in four drafts, and look, we hit this yesterday, right? This has become a hot topic today on this Twitter sphere. Let's pat ourselves on the back, because we were bringing this to your attention. I was bringing the 20 to 22 drafts all of last year, because D-Base, as you know, and Adam, you were in on a lot of this. The microscope that Rand Carthon was under, he was not responsible for the 20 through 22 drafts. So Rand's first draft is 23, and congratulations to Rand. That graduating class is not really adding to much here. So you have four drafts that has yielded Peter Skoronski, who I think is tracking to get a second contract. Then you have Roger McCreary is probably the next best guy, who may or may not get a second. I was surprised to hear you say this, D-Mace, yesterday. You weren't sure if they're going to sign him to a second deal. If it is, it doesn't seem like it's going to be a blockbuster deal. But defensive backs are always, you know, going to get a deal. It's just whether they want to invest in him. Mm-hmm. So that's a maybe. Then you got Chig, who people are very underwhelmed with. He'll flash the brilliance. Are they going to keep him around, especially if they've got Helm and that? I don't know. So you have four drafts that have Skoronski, and then two other guys who you're not really sure if you're going to keep around or not. That's it. So what boils what gets me going, what gets me upset, is when people start saying, well, Brian Callahan's got to show development as a coach and all this. How are you supposed to win when you got four drafts that yield Peter Skoronski, Chig Okonkwo, and Roger McCreary, and that's it? Those are the three best players you have. That's what really gets me going on that, when you assign blame. And I got upset when people were tagging Rand with the roster when he inherited the 20 through 22 drafts. That was John Robinson that drafted all those guys.
No, you're right. You know, and this team is going to be digging out of that hole for a very long time, or climbing out of the hole, excuse me, for a very long time. And it doesn't help when, you know, the previous draft picks, even with Rand, are not amounting to any, you know, too much. They're not guys that are going to be second contract guys. So this is a huge sort of hole to get themselves out of. And that's why, you know, when you talk about Brian Callahan and his job security, I think that's one reason why Amy didn't want to fire him the first go around, because it's like, just look at your roster, okay? The roster isn't good, and I think she understood that. Like, this roster, anybody that she would have brought in here would have struggled the first year with this roster. It was from that point moving forward now that they need to give him some type of, they need to show some type of patience with him. But yeah, he's going to be, the bad part about this, Willie and Adam, is that he may get fired because of a roster he didn't put together. And the next guy, if he doesn't win in a year or two, he's going to end up getting fired for the roster he didn't put together. You see the trend that's going on here?
Yes. That's what boils me. That gets me going. Like you were saying, Adam, I don't get riled up that much, but that really disappoints me when they can't see that it doesn't matter. You could, I'm up here in Ohio. Pick your greatest coach from Ohio. Woody Hayes, Bo Schembechler, who, of course, grew up in Ohio and then went to Michigan. You know, pick whoever you think is the legend. Paul Brown. The best coach, Vince Lombardi, whoever you want to say. You can't win when you have no players. They have no players, and they have assigned blame and cleaned house three straight years. But I do feel for Callahan. And I'm not telling you that Callahan is the greatest coach. I don't know. But he has been handed a deck of cards that is really tough to deal with. And if you're expecting him to look good while this is going on, I don't know that that's possible. You know, and Cam Ward can't just save everybody right now, I don't think, right? So it's going to take some time. As long as they understand that, they have a chance to rebuild. And it's okay to say the word rebuild. I know it's the NFL. But I don't think some people realize that.
This team, Nick Saban said something I heard, and he said it years ago, but I ended up hearing it the other day. He was talking about a high school coach of his, and he got a chance to call plays, meaning Nick Saban, because he was the quarterback. And he got down to the line of scrimmage, and, you know, it was fourth down somewhere around there. And coach called timeout. He said, hey, what play you want to run? And he told him about the two players. He said, I just want to run a play, you know, play to get in. He's like, okay, ran a play. It worked. But then he came back and he said, in crucial moments like that, it's not about plays you're thinking. It's player you're
yes.
thinking. And the Titans, in crucial times, they didn't have player. That they, you know, outside of Derrick Henry, you know, for, at least for the last 2 years, outside of him, they haven't had a player that they can go to at a crucial time. And that's saying a lot, because those drafts were supposed to yield players like that. Like getting into their third or fourth year, and you're saying, you're thinking, okay, it's not about which play I call, it's about a player. Look at Puka Nacua. It's the scheme, yeah, but they think player too. Who's going to make that big play? Oh, we got enough of them. The Titans don't have enough of them.
615-737-1025. Your reaction. We will take it all show long to the Titans' initial, I emphasize that word again, initial 53-man roster, which has been released within the past 20 minutes. 615-737-1025. We will take your reaction. Coming up next, also later today on the ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on Charlotte at First Horizon Park. First pitch is at 6:35. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Tune in for the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix race on 102.5 The Game this Sunday. Coverage begins at 1 p.m. and is brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Also, we will give away a pair of tickets to the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix at some point during the show, so be listening for your cue to call. The Tennessee Titans have released their initial 53-man roster. As you all know, the Tennessee Titans have number one priority on the waiver wire, so the roster you see today probably isn't going to be the roster you see tomorrow. But just keep that in mind. The Tennessee.
How many do you think they'll take, guys? I asked that to Teron yesterday. What do you guys think the over-under is on how many waiver wire pickups there are?
That's a good question.
I would say 2.5.
I agree. I would take over. I think it's going to be at least 3. I hope they can find 3 guys that are better than what they've got, yeah. Honestly.
Mike Herndon of PaulKaharski.com did this exercise. He looked at the average number of players claimed off by the top waiver spot over the past 10 years. The average is 3.6, with a high of 6 and a low of 1. That's according to Mike Herndon of PaulKaharski.com. An average of 3.6 players claimed by the top waiver spot over the past 10 years.
Oh, so I guess my 2.5, at least for the Titans, we can make it 2.5.
Does that change your answer, Willie?
Look, I'm looking at it from a macro perspective. I would be scouring to see if I could find upgrades from rosters who are a little bit more loaded and have drafted better. I mean, it's got to be something that you hope to, at least you have to hope that you can use this to your advantage, because everything in this league with the system of parity is designed for the bad teams to get better. This is one of the tools. They don't only keep this number one waiver thing until the first game. They have it until the third week of the season. So I would say by the time that season, where the season gets going, I think they'll have over 2.5, I would think. But we'll see.
And that's one reason I don't believe they're going to, you know, go all in, like try to grab every guy they can grab. I don't think they're going to try to do that. It may be a guy or two that they've already sort of zeroed in on that they would like on the team. But a lot of these guys they're getting are, they're going to be core special teams guys, and guys that can, you know, give you some relief at a position, you know, whether it be rotationally or if a guy goes down. But he's not someone you expect a lot from. You just need him to be a core special teams guy, and he can give you a little bit if that first guy goes down or if y'all are rotating.
Let's get to some of your reaction at 615-737-1025. One texter says, I would have to agree with Willie. How can you say if Brian Callahan is a good coach or a bad coach when he doesn't have the talent to win? They need about 20 of those waiver claims. Then there's another texter who says, I kind of have to disagree with the roster being handed to Callahan. Surely he had to have some part in the players the team signed last year. How many guys did they bring in last year that he was a part of? Now, of course, as the head coach, he has say in it, but the foundation of the roster was already there.
Yeah.
So I would disagree with that texter's disagreement. Brian Callahan, I don't remember which player specifically. Brian Callahan certainly had to have say in some of the players who played for the Tennessee Titans last season, but the roster was long.
So it would be last year. So he came in before the draft last year, right? So before the J.C. Latham, Tavondre Sweat draft,
yes,
right?
Yep.
So if there was any responsibility he had, it would have had to have started there. And he got in there just, I don't know, what, a month before the draft? So I don't know how much influence he had on the draft. And then,
but if you're basing it on what
season,
those guys are doing
it's minimal at best, right? He inherited Levis. It's not like he was out there saying, "Let's take Will Levis." Will Levis is the guy we should take. He wasn't there. He was with Cincinnati, so he inherited 90% or to 95% really, conservatively 90% of the roster, and that doesn't give him a free pass. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, but it's so easy to say, "Well, it's going to be Callahan." Tell me what you could do better with this roster the way it is. You cannot go four drafts with that result and think you're going to have any chance of having a good team as a coach.
The position that I have circled in terms of waiver wire priority, well, maybe not, but one position I certainly have circled, it may not be the number one priority, is running back. You have Tony Pollard. You have Julius Chestnut, you have Khalil Mullings, and as we mentioned, Tajay Spears is on injured reserve, meaning he must miss at least the first four games of the season. He has a high ankle sprain, which we all know never really goes away, right? He is going to be feeling that injury. Let's assume he comes back after 4 weeks. He's still going to be feeling the effects of that injury once he takes the field again. So I have to imagine, Derek, that running back is a waiver wire priority for the Tennessee Titans. I have not looked at all of the running backs who have been released, but I imagine the Titans are going to be looking for a running back who plays a similar style of game as Tajay Spears to fill in for Spears while Spears is on injured reserve.
You know, I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't get a running back. I think they believe enough in Chestnut, in Julius Chestnut, that they may be okay with having Mullins as a core special teams guy for now and Chestnut as the second back, because Chestnut has shown the ability to get out the backfield and catch the football. Now, it doesn't look like Tajay Spears. I understand that. And you know, he isn't as versatile as Spears, but he still gives you that element of a tough runner and a guy that can get out the backfield and catch passes. So I wouldn't be surprised if they chose to go into the first game with just those three running backs. And then maybe the second game, because I think a player's contract, if I'm correct, and I may not be on this one, that once you're on that roster in that first game, I think the contract is guaranteed, or after the second game, somewhere around there, the whole contract is guaranteed. So teams are not quick to put someone on their roster just for the opening day.
Willie, there is one running back whose name stood out to me, and a texter just asked about this running back, Cam Akers. Cam Akers was released by the New Orleans Saints Akers has torn his Achilles twice and managed to make successful comebacks to the field. He was a second-round pick in 2020, 26 years old. But considering his injury history, I'm a bit skeptical of that as well. But Cam Akers, Derek, correct me if I'm wrong here, would fit the mold of a Tajay Spears-like running back in terms of his ability to catch the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah, he did a lot of it when he was in L.A., I think on their Super Bowl run. He was critical in what they were doing. You know, so he does fit the mold of a Tajay Spears. Now, you know, because of the injury history, are they willing to, you know, bring him in and, you know, for basically you only bring him in really for 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And then after that, you got to make a decision on whether you're going to keep him or not. But if Tajay comes back and he's ready to go, there's no need to keep him because I think he still would be behind Chestnut as far as, you know, reps and you know, plays during the game. I would still believe, one, because he would have to play catch up with the playbook, but then two, because Chestnut knows the offense. They like what they see from Chestnut. So even if they brought Akers in, I think he still would be behind Chestnut.
Willie, what do you think?
Yeah, that one, I'm not sure. Since he played for the Rams, it had the one pretty good year where he had 786 yards, pretty good numbers. He's been, boy, has he really bounced around. In 2023, he only played seven games. Last year, he did play in all the games, but he again bounced around. He went to Minnesota and to Houston. I don't know. You're not going to get Tony Dorsett off of the waiver wire. Not likely, right? So you'd have to have the right fit. And that's why I don't know everything about these guys. Another guy that just intrigued me, I saw Jeff Wilson, who is another guy that's played in two different places, San Francisco and Miami, and been a pretty decent second guy at times. He didn't play that many games last year. He was released, so I don't know what his injury status is. So I don't know. I want to know what the other options are before I weigh in on that. I was curious about Brian Robinson, right? It only took a sixth rounder to get him.
He's not very explosive. That's the issue with Brian Robinson. Perhaps one of the least explosive running backs who saw regular time in the NFL, if I recall correctly.
Fair, but he has a decent amount of production to his credit. So I agree. If it's close and you think Chestnut might be better, you might just say, look, let's just see what Chestnut could do. We've never really given him a chance for extended periods of time to see if he can do it. I don't know if Mullings can do it. But you have the luxury of waiting a week or two just to see, right? Because like you were saying, D-May, some veterans get let go after the first – is it what, after the first week? Or I know the rule you're talking about, but sometimes there's that second wave of, well, we don't want to guarantee this veteran's contract after this, so let's just let him go. And you might have an opportunity there to find somebody.
Yeah, so I just think that and again, they may choose to go out and get a running back, you know, in this first wave of free agents that will be out there that they think can, you know, help this ball club. But if they don't, I don't think it would be a big thing. I think they need to address some other areas. One in particular, I think the defensive back area. They need to address that. You can never have enough offensive linemen and D linemen. Do you need a swing tackle? I think they have more pressing needs on this roster when it comes to potential free agents than the running back position. I tend to believe they are okay with Chestnut backing up Pollard for now. But they need to address, you know, the cornerback position, as well as, you know, getting you a swing tackle and getting some other guys on that defensive line that can rotate.
Speaking of the cornerback position, Mark in Ashland City says, I don't care who else they claim, as long as they claim Jalen Armour Davis from Baltimore at corner. He's young and they lack corner depth. Why not take a flyer? Jalen Armour Davis played at Alabama. He was a fourth-round pick of Baltimore's in 2022, which means he would have played under Denard Wilson when Denard Wilson was in Baltimore. He's had some injuries as well, I believe. He's been limited to 15 games over the past two seasons
with
the Baltimore Ravens. But for a team with no cornerback depth to speak of, perhaps it is worth taking a flyer, as the texter says.
I mean, if you're going to take a flyer, you're taking a flyer on the potential. 6'1", you know, runs a 4.3, seems to be fluid with his hips. And he has some familiarity with Denard Wilson. So I wouldn't be surprised if they chose to bring a guy in like that. But to injury history, and if they don't, that tells a lot too. Because, you know, one, the defensive coordinator, if he's not pushing for you, then, you know, maybe the experience he had with you wasn't great.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction on the Titans' initial 53-man roster. Which position would you prioritize on the waiver wire if you were in Mike Borgonzi's shoes? 615-737-1025. Coming up next, I saw a trade in the NFL yesterday, and it made me wonder what could have been. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. This isn't just a concert, it's a cause. Trinetics' Rock the Cradle helps give fragile newborns a stronger start and keeps moms close when it matters most. With Tim McGraw live on stage and your support behind every beat, Ascension St. Thomas is turning music into healing. Tickets are on sale now at rockthecradlenashville.org. This week's Nashville's best deal is for Homegrown Tap Room and Kitchen in Donelson. Homegrown Tap Room and Kitchen, a beloved neighborhood hub featured on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, offers a gourmet twist on comfort food, and you can enjoy one of their 24 taps of craft beer selections, wine, and unique canned cocktails. Get half off a $100 gift card now at thegamenashville.com while supplies last. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Yesterday, the Las Vegas Raiders traded for Kenny Pickett. Remember, the Cleveland Browns had Joe Flacco. They had Kenny Pickett. They had Dylan Gabriel. They had Shedeur Sanders. And there were reports that the Cleveland Browns were comfortable carrying four quarterbacks. That turned out to be incorrect. The Las Vegas Raiders needed a backup quarterback after Aiden O'Connell fractured his right wrist in the Raiders preseason finale. So the Las Vegas Raiders ponied up a fifth-round draft pick to acquire Kenny Pickett to back up Geno Smith in Las Vegas. And gentlemen, as I saw the news of that transaction, I wonder if Will Levis could have fetched a fifth-round draft pick had he not undergone season-ending shoulder surgery. Willie, do you think Levis could have netted the Titans a fifth-round pick from a desperate team had he not decided to have surgery and missed the entire season?
I'd be skeptical. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Did I not see this? Wasn't there a little bit of a twist, like a seventh for a sixth in there too with Pickett? I could be wrong, but either way, I would be surprised. Not that Pickett has done anything great, but when you're a first-round pick and you've played a little bit more, I know Pickett has not. He's not going to be confused with Terry Bradshaw or anybody like that, but he's done a little bit more than Levis. Would we agree?
Yes, and I believe it was Kenny Pickett for a fifth-round pick straight up.
Straight up, okay. I would have been stunned. I would have been thrilled if they got a fifth-round pick for Will Levis. But I don't think it would have happened.
I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that a team that was looking for a backup quarterback, a young one at that, wouldn't have probably given the Titans a little bit. It probably could have been a conditional fifth round pick. You know, if he plays, yeah, you get the fifth. If he doesn't, you get the sixth.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
Yeah, best
but
case.
Yeah, exactly. But I do believe that a healthy Will Levis, because every GMs, they're no different from anybody else. You think you can do better than the next person did. So I can take that guy and I can do better with him than you did. And what typically happens? They don't. You know, but there are GMs that are going to think with Will Levis when he gets healthy. I'm telling you, when he gets healthy and they start seeing film of him throwing the football around, there's going to be a GM either before the draft or after the draft that didn't get their quarterback that may offer a fifth round pick for Will Levis.
Can we just take a moment to discuss the career path of Kenny Pickett? Kenny Pickett was the first quarterback drafted in 2022 by Pittsburgh. He spent two seasons in Pittsburgh, was then traded to Philadelphia, won the Super Bowl in Philadelphia as a backup quarterback to Jalen Hurts. The Browns traded a 2025 fifth-round pick and quarterback Dorian Thompson-Robinson for Kenny Pickett in March, and then he was traded again yesterday. So he's on his fourth team since being drafted in 2022.
Wow.
Which just goes to show you, we've talked about this with Cam Ward and the stats that Cam Ward put up in the preseason. The basic numbers, the box score stats, and the importance of those stats are, and I think we would all agree, the three of us don't really put a lot of stock into preseason numbers. I'm going to take a moment after I finish this sentence and look up Kenny Pickett's preseason numbers his rookie season. Because if I recall correctly, he was getting MVP talk based on his preseason performance. I am going to find these numbers. But let's just take a moment to talk about the fact that Kenny Pickett, this goes to show you, Willie, what we were talking about yesterday. That stat that was on GetUp on ESPN between 2000 and 2020. 50% of quarterbacks drafted in the first round, 30 of 60, landed a second contract with the team that drafted them. And Kenny Pickett, he falls into the 30 that didn't work out.
It's a coin flip. That's what we determine. And your percentages don't really go up that much, even if it's a high first-round pick. And Kenny Pickett was not a high first-round pick, right?
He was in the middle of the first round, if I recall correctly.
Right, right. But it's surprising. It's not like, hey, the guys in the bottom 15, your odds are 25%, and they're 75% in the first 10 or something like that. It's really not that. It might go up a little bit, but it's not that much. We did the research on it. So yeah, Kenny Pickett, and that was such a weak quarterback class. And remember, that was that was the Malik Willis class.
Yes, mm-hmm. And where, the Desmond Ridder class.
Kind of slid
down. I believe
the Titans were like, he's still sitting there. So let's take him. And now he's carving out a career, I guess, as the backup for Jordan Love, and it's gone well so far, but that's about it.
Derek, here were Kenny Pickett's preseason numbers in 2022. 29 completions on 36 attempts. That's a completion percentage of 80.6%, 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and a passer rating of 124.7.
Here comes Terry Bradshaw.
Ooh, yeah.
Big Ben.
The second coming.
And if you think that's good, here are his 2023 preseason numbers. Didn't play as many games. 13 completions on 15 attempts for a completion percentage of 86.7%, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and a perfect passer rating of 158.3.
He developed.
And now look where Kenny Pickett is.
See, and that's why I say.
That's a perfect passer rating, right? 158.3?
Yes, yeah. It is.
Okay.
That's why I say it's nothing to take a flyer on a fifth round, giving up a fifth round pick for a quarterback that you believe has the tools to go out there and play that position. And you believe you are the person that can develop him and mold him into that type of quarterback. So giving up a fifth round, you say the first rounders are 30, 50%. I might as well give up. So it's nothing to give up a fifth round pick for a second round quarterback that may work out. Yeah.
I see the logic.
By the way, Kenny Pickett.
Because you're sitting there going, well, we liked him, maybe, right?
Yeah.
We liked him a certain amount coming out of the draft. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened over here or over here. But we think he's got the tools, and it's also like you look around and you're like, who else have we got? it's either this or Trevor Siemian or something like that. And all you're asking them to do is be the backup, right?
Yes.
You're not asking him to be the starter. And I do think with Levis, that will be a new market for him. I think he will be an attractive possible backup, right?
Mm-hmm.
because that's a whole different standard.
But I think he still wants to be a starter in this league.
Good luck.
And he's going to have to prove that to people.
I want a lot of things, yeah. But I'm realistic.
Yes, me as well.
I looked at the Powerball numbers on my drive to take my son to school today.
Uh-huh. You wanted that money,
didn't you? I believe it's like $815 million. I would love that amount of money. I'm being realistic. Will Levis, you should also be realistic. But Pickett, at least,
you're basically saying your odds of winning that and Will Levis's odds of getting a starting job are basically the same.
No, to be fair to Will Levis, he has better odds of being a starter in the NFL than I do winning Powerball, but not by much. By the way, Kenny Pickett does have a winning record as a starter in the NFL. He is 15-10. As a
that will
starter
go a long way.
Versus 5-16
it's misleading,
for Will Levis.
Man, it's misleading.
Yeah, his numbers totally aren't great.
Remember, Vince Young was living off of that for a long time.
His numbers aren't great. 4,765 yards, 15 touchdowns, and 14 interceptions. 62.4% completion, but 15-10 as a starter.
That will get you a backup job, though. That will put you in a really good market for a backup.
Yes.
Position.
I am convinced that if everything had played out the way it has, with Aiden O'Connell suffering a fractured wrist in the preseason finale and the Las Vegas Raiders desperate for a backup quarterback, I think the Titans could have gotten the fifth round pick for Will Levis.
I think that they probably would
in
have
this
taken Will
specific
Levis
situation
over Pickett.
Really?
Yes.
You do?
Okay. I think they would have taken Will Levis, try to facilitate a trade with Will Levis over Pickett. I think so.
Really? You think that little of Pickett? That's interesting
to
me.
He's
because here's the other part that is in the back of people's mind, probably, right? Somewhere in there is that it is a little bit of the lottery ticket, right? You bring up the Powerball, Adam, but it is like, hey, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. You know, you can go through the list. There are guys who get thrown to the scrap heap who were once good prospects that failed miserably, crashed and burned, and do resurrect and become pretty good quarterbacks, the late bloomers. And you do, your scouts are probably telling you and selling you on, you know, look, I've seen him. He's not, if we could use him right, we can get the most out of him. He's learning. He's maturing. There are a few of those guys, but they are like lottery tickets.
Alex in Montreal on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, please, someone let Mike Tannenbaum know the roster is in rebuild. Guy is picking the Titans to win the division. Is he crazy or is he onto something? He's definitely crazy, Alex. We did discuss this yesterday.
Yes.
Mike Tannenbaum, I don't know what he took part in before getting on the set of Get Up yesterday, but yes, he did say the Titans were going to win the AFC South, and we humored
him. What might have he been taking part in? Any speculation?
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
What are you implying?
Yeah,
I'm just Josh. I don't. Let's not speculate.
We all know the end of the. We all know the end of the song. The next episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Smoke weed every day. This is not an endorsement of that particular
thing,
but who knows? 615-737-1025. Let's stay on the quarterback topic for a moment, because a lot of quarterbacks have been released around the NFL. Should the Titans consider claiming any of them? And this doesn't necessarily mean as the backup replacing Brandon Allen, but maybe as a sort of project. We'll discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingham, 1025 The Game.